atmosphere and climate change. Section 2. The ozone shield. The ozone layer is an area in the stratosphere where ozone is highly concentrated. Ozone is a molecule made of 3 oxygen atoms. The ozone layer absorbs most of the ultraviolet or UV light from the sun. Ultraviolet light is harmful to organisms because it can damage the genetic material in living cells. By shielding the Earth's surface from most of the sun's ultraviolet light, the ozone in the stratosphere acts like a sunscreen for the Earth's inhabitants. Chemicals that cause ozone depletion. During the 1970s, scientists began to worry that a class of human-made chemicals called chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, might be damaging the ozone layer. For many years, CFCs were thought to be miracle chemicals. They are non-poisonous and non-flammable, and they do not corrode metals. CFCs quickly became popular as coolants in refrigerators and air conditioners. They were also used as a gassy fizz for making plastic foams and as a propellant in spray cans of everyday products, such as deodorants, insecticides, and paint. At the Earth's surface, CFCs are chemically stable, so they do not combine with other chemicals or break down into other substances. But CFC molecules break apart high in the stratosphere, where UV radiation, a powerful energy source, is absorbed. Once CFC molecules break apart, parts of the CFC molecules destroy protective ozone. Over a period of 10 to 20 years, CFC molecules released at the Earth's surface make their way into the stratosphere. Figure 10 shows how the CFCs destroy ozone in the stratosphere. Each CFC molecule contains from 1 to 4 chlorine atoms, and scientists have estimated that a single chlorine atom from CFC can destroy 100,000 ozone molecules. The ozone hole. In 1985, an article in the scientific journal Nature reported the results of studies by scientists working in Antarctica. The studies revealed that the ozone layer above the South Pole had thinned by 50 to 98%. This was the first news of the ozone hole, a thinning of stratospheric ozone that occurs over the poles during the spring. After the results were published, NASA scientists reviewed data that had been sent to Earth by the Nimbus 7 weather satellite since the satellite's launch in 1978. They were able to see the first signs of ozone thinning in the data from 1979. Although the concentration of ozone fluctuates during the year, the data showed a growing ozone hole, as shown in Figure 11. Ozone levels over the Arctic have decreased as well. How does the ozone hole form? During the dark polar winter, strong circulating winds over Antarctica, called the polar vortex, isolate cold air from surrounding warmer air. The air within the vortex grows extremely cold. When temperatures fall below about minus 80 degrees Celsius, high-altitude clouds made of water and nitric acid, called polar stratospheric clouds, begin to form. On the surfaces of polar stratospheric clouds, the products of CFCs are converted to molecular chlorine. When sunlight returns to the South Pole in spring, molecular chlorine is split into 2 chlorine atoms by ultraviolet radiation. The chlorine atoms rapidly destroy ozone. This causes a thin spot, or ozone hole, which lasts for several months. Some scientists estimate that as much as 70% of the ozone layer can be destroyed during the spring. Because ozone is also being produced as air pollution, you may wonder why this ozone does not repair the ozone hole in the stratosphere. The answer is that ozone is very chemically reactive. Ozone produced by pollution breaks down or combines with other substances in the troposphere long before it can reach the stratosphere to replace the ozone that is being destroyed. Effects of ozone thinning on humans. As the amount of ozone in the stratosphere decreases, more ultraviolet light is able to pass through the atmosphere and reach Earth's surface, as shown in Figure 12. UV light is dangerous to living things because it damages DNA. DNA is the genetic material that contains the information that determines inherited characteristics. Exposure to UV light makes the body more susceptible to skin cancer and may cause certain other damaging effects to the human body. Effects of ozone thinning on animals and plants. High levels of UV light can kill single-celled organisms called phytoplankton that live near the surface of the ocean. The loss of phytoplankton could disrupt ocean food chains and reduce fish harvests. In addition, a reduction in the number of phytoplankton would cause an increase in the amount of carbon dioxide, or CO2, in the atmosphere. Some scientists believe that increased UV light could be especially damaging for amphibians, such as toads and salamanders. Amphibians lay eggs that lack shells in the shallow water of ponds and streams. UV light at natural levels kills many eggs of some species by damaging unprotected DNA. Higher UV levels might kill more eggs and put amphibian populations at risk. Ecologists often use the health of amphibian populations as an indicator of environmental change due to the environmental sensitivity of these creatures. UV light can damage plants by interfering with photosynthesis. This damage can result in lower crop yields. The damaging effects of UV light are summarized in Table 1. Protecting the ozone layer. In 1987, a group of nations met in Canada and agreed to take action against ozone depletion. Under an agreement called the Montreal Protocol, these nations agreed to sharply limit their production of CFCs. A second conference on the problem was held in Copenhagen, Denmark in 1992. Developed countries agreed to eliminate most CFCs by 1995. The United States pledged to ban all substances that pose a significant danger to the ozone layer by 2000. After developed countries banned most uses of CFCs, chemical companies developed CFC replacements. Aerosol cans no longer use CFCs as propellants, and air conditioners are becoming CFC-free. Because many countries were involved and decided to control CFCs, many people consider ozone protection an international environmental success story. Figure 13 illustrates the decline in world CFC production since the 1987 Montreal Protocol. The battle to protect the ozone layer is not over. CFC molecules remain active in the stratosphere for 60 to 120 years. Well, we've reached the end of this section. Before moving on, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions.